Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the happy hour we go. Although this first segment might not be terribly happy, Scraby and I also have something to discuss. He was just talking about backward parking, and this guy is an avid hater of backwards parking. So we'll get into it on the other side. Mark Ziegler joins us here, San Diego Union Tribune. Mark, thank you for your time. As always, my friend, how are you?
I'm not a fan of backward parking either. So
thank you, Mark. Thank you.
I'm in Chris's camp here.
Oh, man.
Team L.O.
Yep. L.O., you and Scraby are all a part of the non-backward.
Tony keeps using the argument, what if I need to leave quicker?
Hey, I'm prepared if
like
it happens.
You are always running from a murderer.
Touche.
Earthquake in the parking garage. Got to get out.
Mark, last night was disappointing, to say the least. I don't know. We knew it was a step up in competition. I don't know that anybody expected it to look like that. I mean, from your standpoint, what do you think went wrong for the Aztecs last night against the Michigan Wolverines?
I mean, I don't even know if I know. I mean, it was as shocking to me as it probably was to anybody else. And I'm around this team. Usually I have a pretty good vibe and feel for the team. And there's a disconnect between practice and games right now. Because the practices, I see them going hard. They're energetic. They're willing learners. The intensity is high for the most part. There's good competition. And the level is high. So that should be preparing you for games like this. And I just, what shocked me was the lack of fight.
Yeah.
And that's something that we've seen in San Diego State teams over the last few decades. They don't get blown out. I mean, there's very few games they lose by. I remember, you know, in recent seasons, they lose by 21. And I'm looking up going, oh, my gosh, that's their worst loss in 300 games. 40? I mean, I had to go back to I was going back and going back and going. It was 1999 with Fred Trinkle. And it was the last time. And that was just an awful team. I mean, there wasn't one guy on that Fred Trinkle team that could make the roster, including the walk-ons on this team. So, I don't know if there is an explanation. I don't even know if they should have one.
Yeah.
Other than they're not playing very well right now.
You know, Mark, typically we have a loss, maybe not this bad, but it's usually tape fodder for Dutch the following day or whenever they get a chance to look at it. Is this one of those games that you may not even look at? I mean, how much are they going to learn from a night like last night?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like from my days, and Chris will appreciate this, when you're coaching high school basketball and you just get overmatched against the team and there's really nothing you can do. And they're just coming down and they're shooting layups and they're, you know, they're putting the press on, they're getting easy steals and dunks, and you're just sitting there just taking it. And it felt like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like the difference in levels was like that. To answer your question, I mean, the answer was, you know, are they going to look at this tape? No, they don't have,
they don't have time.
I mean, they have 22 hours before their next game. And so they just try to flush it. And what I couldn't tell last night in listening to them speak was, are they really honestly just going to flush it and pretend it never happened?
Yeah.
And that's the right approach. Or are they in denial? And they might be in denial. And part of the problem with being in denial is you can't address
right.
the issues behind the scenes until you admit that there's a problem.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'll certainly pass along that note to Chris, who's out with the ladies'
unfortunately
team.
Unfortunately, let Mark know. Sorry, Mark.
I'll definitely pass it along to him. Mark Ziegler joins us here, San Diego Union Tribune. I guess the one bright spot was Elzy again. I mean, I think you got a chance to see why he is so highly touted. I mean, he didn't seem to have very many issues in terms of mid-range, getting to a spot, getting the shot up. If there was a positive spot in there, I guess it'd be him, right?
Yeah, and to a lesser extent, B.J. Davis, but yeah. We've seen B.J. for a few years, and he showed some fight at least. But yeah, LZ was clearly the best thing that came out of this game, and in some ways, maybe that was a good thing going forward. Look, the elephant in the room here is, and I think the coaches probably, you know, if you give them some truth serum, would admit it, they've known since probably in the middle of the summer that he's really, really good, and he's probably better than anybody else they have at the point guard. But he's a freshman, and Dutch is real loyal to older guys, understands there's a lot of sweat equity involved and sort of the chemistry of a team, and you don't want to have powders. But I think the elephant in the room is LZ's got to start. And, you know, it's just a question of when, not if, in my mind. Yeah. And he showed it last night. He showed an ability to play on the ball screens. I mean, he's a freshman playing like he's an eighth-year senior. It was really pretty impressive. And he said something really interesting to me. I didn't put in my story. I asked him afterwards because, you know, he played pretty well in the first two games. And then last game against Troy, he had 6 turnovers and I think only 1 assist. And really some uncharacteristic mistakes. He looked like a freshman in that game. And it was, you know, part of the reason, not the only reason, part of the reason they lost. And so I said, how did you go from that to turn it around and playing as well as he did against a really good team? And he said, you know, the first two games, I didn't think I played that well, but everyone kept telling me I played really well, and I started to believe them. And that was a mistake. And that's a pretty, you know, that's a pretty mature thing to say. And it's almost like the rest of the team needs to take that advice. Like, everyone's telling them how good they are, and clearly they're not as good as they think they are. Maybe they need to be humbled a little bit. And he did it. And came back with a big game, and maybe the rest of them need to, too.
It's such an interesting point, because when we had him on, he was talking about those first two games and how, you know, he realized the type of level he was playing at and how he needed to step it up. And it's interesting to hear you say that he's already recognizing it as a freshman. That's a mature thing that a lot of guys don't get to until year 2, 3. But you also said something that to me, watching his team is glaring. And that's the point guard position. I don't know that they really have someone that is getting them in and out. And if LZ needs a spot to start, could you see him running the point for this ball club, even as a freshman?
Yeah, I think that's what's going to have to happen if they're going to really be the team they think they're going to be. The problem is Taj won the job fair and square in the fall. There's no doubt about it. I was at most of those practices. He was their best player. He's a leading scorer in through their two inter-squad scrimmages, all the things that Brian Dutcher wanted to see, he showed. He really improved in the offseason. He was really their most improved player. But he's kind of hit a wall now in games. And part of the problem is he's not an elite athlete. He may look like he is, but he's not an elite athlete. He doesn't have that burst to get around people. He's a big body, and that has its advantages, and he has great court vision. But he's not an elite athlete. And the second thing is he doesn't play with this sense of urgency. Maybe he does internally, but externally he looks very unpurposeful.
Yeah.
And I think that's in a point guard, that's sort of your leader on the floor. You need to have a little bit more energy. And then the guy they really brought in to be the point was Sean Newman Jr. He's been kind of banged up all fall, but it just looks like the jump up in level, he's really struggling with that. Maybe he'll get there, but he's not there right now. And then you look around going, well, then who's our point guard? Well, here he is. And so I think it's a question of, how do you want to play the office politics here? Do you just, you know, do you just throw him in there tonight and say, LZ, here's the keys, go for it? Or do you slow play it a little bit and maybe wait for a 10-day break and then introduce him as the point guard?
I can certainly see a scenario in which they slow play it. I mean, this is in today's college environment, it's a tricky thing to have these type of players, this type of talent, but you all got to find a way to keep them at least happy enough to be here and not be a problem.
Yeah, 100%. And that's and Brian Dutcher talked about that afterwards when I asked him. I said, is this just the rotation thing? And he said, yeah, we've got to sort out our rotation. He goes, and he goes, you know, guys like Elzy certainly deserve more playing time, but I also have to be cognizant of the veterans who have been around and sweat, you know, for years. And I've got to be respectful and loyal to that as well. So he understands that balance. And, you know, this is going to be one of his tougher coaching jobs. I don't think he thought it was going into the season with the amount of talent he had. But as they got close to the first game, he told me privately a couple times, this is going to be tough to keep everybody happy and figure this out. And now they got to figure it out. Unfortunately, you know, as you said last night, they don't have time to figure it out overnight. There's no major change they can make that will miraculously turn this team around. They're just going to have to suck it up for these next two games, try to win at least one of them, and get back home, and then really make the hard, tough decisions.
Talking to Mark Ziegler here, San Diego Union Tribune, about the Aztecs basketball team. And I wanted to talk about the tournament itself, because I was reading earlier today, the Maui Invitational is seemingly probably going to go away over the next few years. And the Players Era Tournament is taking over because they have the money behind it. Personally, does it make you sad that tournaments like the Maui Invitational are going away? Or do you like these big tournaments with lots of great teams and money on the line?
I mean, I see both sides. You want to see the best teams play each other. And the one good thing that Players Era has identified is that there's kind of three parts of the college basketball season. We all know about March Madness, and that's, you know, a lot of people consider it the greatest sporting event in our country and maybe the world. It is an incredible sporting event. And so you have that. And then you have sort of the conference seasons / conference tournaments that have their own interests and their rivalries, regional rivalries. But the first third of the season, it's kind of this wasteland, and it never has had any kind of structure. And so what the Players Era is trying to do is bring some kind of structure and relevance to the first part of the season. And what I thought they were going to do is move in a direction to do something like, okay, if you made the Sweet 16 last year, you get an invite to our tournament, you get $1 million, and we're going to replay the Sweet 16 in Thanksgiving week in Las Vegas. And it's kind of going a little bit in that direction, but what they just announced earlier this week is that they reached a partnership with the Big 12. The top eight teams of the Big 12 from the previous season get bids to the Players Era and the $1 million. And so they're going to have eight Big 12 teams in this thing. And what I'm kind of wondering in the back of my mind is, where's the Pac-12 and Mount West going to be in all this?
Right.
Because if, you know, you can't keep getting blown out by 40 in this tournament and expect them to keep inviting you back. And if San Diego State doesn't get invited back, that's $1 million out of their pocket, and they really need that money for NIL.
Yeah, it's safe to say that a bounce back game here tonight is in order, because this tournament, I assume, is only going to elicit more and more high quality, high caliber teams as we move forward. Certainly be interesting to see how it goes. As always, Mark, appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge with us about this Aztec squad.
All right, I'm going to go drive over to the arena, and I'm going to pull into my spot.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. Very good, man.
Fair enough, Mark. Thanks for your time, brother.
All right, see you, man. See
Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune. A lot of a lot of interesting questions for the Aztecs moving forward. That last one, that $1 million is a big deal. Like, to help this program, specifically a program like San Diego State
that's huge,
isn't bringing in that type of NIL otherwise consistently, being able to have that is a big deal. And so,
yeah, who's the head coach of Houston?
Samson.
I want to talk to Samson.
I want to talk to Sam.
He said when they first originally called him about
Calvin Samson.
Yeah. When they originally called him about it, they said, oh, we're going to give you $1 million. And he thought it was fake. He thought it was like, no, this can't be real. This just doesn't happen. And then he got in some Zooms with them, and he realized it was real.
He pretty much said he would have showed up to a parking lot with his team to play for $1 million.
Yeah, so
it's a big deal. And I think Mark is right. Getting blown out by 40 can't help your car. And the thing that made me uncomfortable is they were the only team that really got blown out in yesterday's games. All the other games were somewhat close.
They were.
The Aztecs were the only one that got blown out. So, do we have to stay until 16 now at this point?
No, let's just go to break. Because we got Marcelo Balboa on the other
side. That's right. Back to SDFC. Marcelo Balboa will join us. We'll break down this Vancouver SDFC matchup coming up here next week. More Gwen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris. You're in the happy hour, 5:20 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scrady. Let's jump right to our next guest, Marcelo Balboa, who has had a crazy travel day here the last couple of days. Joins us here to talk a little SDFC. Marcelo, how are you feeling, man? I know you've been through it the last couple of days.
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good. I finally, after last night's game, I finally made it back to Colorado. So just landed.
Back at home, just landed. Well, we won't keep you too long. I'm just super excited about the SDFC win last night. So many things popped up, because I believe last time we had you on, we talked a little bit about their previous matchup. And thing that I saw last night, you could almost see the frustration starting to mount on SDFC, because Minnesota just packed it in, and there were just not a lot of openings. They finally ended up getting one, but you could kind of see why that team could give SDFC a little bit of problems.
Big time, because when you talk about San Diego, you talk about a team that likes to play wide, that likes to play in the back of over the top of the back line, making run-ins behind that back line. And Minnesota took that away. And you did see a little frustration. It wasn't their best game. And listen, Cisniega came up huge on two plays. Huge on two plays to keep you at 0-0 at that point. So, listen, I think it's a good quality that they had a grind out a result. They had a fight to the end. It showed some character. It showed some grit, some bite with this team. And they found a way to get it done.
Marcelo, it seemed that Mikey Veras took issue with kind of the perception of his team not being a hard-working team. Now, listen, I'm not plugged in like you are. Where does that come from? This team, at least from what I've seen, is a hard-working team. They fail all 90 minutes. Where does that stigma come from? Where is that kind of idea shaping?
I don't even know where I've never heard that San Diego is not a hardworking team. I've never heard that they're not a team that's going to fight for 90 minutes. That would be against everything Mikey has.
Yeah.
Because when you watch that team step on the field, especially at home, they go after teams and they press and they run. And I mean, when you talk about Pilcher, the way he ran across and saved that goal, he was running back at full speed. I mean, Bumbino had a fantastic game, and we're not even going to talk about what Aníbal Godoy did after going to qualifying with Panama, coming back in a few days and starting. He had a fantastic game. So I don't think that a lot of people are going to say that they're not a hardworking team. I think last night it wasn't about hardworking. It was more mental. How can we break them down in this low block? Where can we find the little gaps? Where can we play the little 1-2s? Where can we find the overloads? And they did that at the end. And listen, let's be honest. The ball Tverskov plays over the top of that back line. Oh, finally, you got in behind. And what Corey Burke did with that back heel, and no one marking Dreyer, big mistake, and it cost him. One mistake cost him the game.
I forget who the defender was to Dreyer's right, but I remember that ball bouncing, him kind of looking around like, is somebody going to get to that?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it was Dreyer who ends up putting it in the back of the net to give the SDFC the 1-0 win. Marcelo Balboa joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Marcelo, let's talk about this next matchup. Obviously, SDFC caught Vancouver on that last Saturday as they lost in their final game. SDFC takes the top spot. So for that reason, they'll be here at Snapdragon. How do you see this kind of matchup unfolding? Because Vancouver has a very, very good team as well.
Yeah, but they're at a disadvantage already because Blackman got a red card against LAFC. The center back got one. Mueller has a little bit of a hamstring they were showing the other day that he came off. He had just a little bit of a tightness. So I think you're going to have to wait and see. I think it's a great matchup. I think it's an absolutely wonderful matchup. Two teams that want to attack, two teams who've got star players in Mueller and Dreyer. You know, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle because I can guarantee you Vancouver will not sit back and defend in a low block and wait and let LA come. They're going to press you. They're going to run. They're going to run just as much as San Diego. So when you look about, when you look at this matchup, it should be, I'm not saying it's going to be a lot of goals, but I'm saying it's going to be back and forth action.
I'd be remiss, Marcelo, if I didn't ask you about the recent kind of change to the MLS schedule. I mean, this has been something that has been debated, it seems like, for quite some time. MLS now making the move to align their schedule so that it looks like, you know, everybody else's schedule across the soccer world. How do you think this, what do you think about this decision? You think it's a good one, bad one? How do you feel?
No, listen, it was a long time coming. If we're going to get with the rest of the world, we've got to go on their calendar. Yes, will it be difficult in some – I mean, you guys don't have to worry about it in California, Texas, or Florida, but other teams will have to worry a little bit about the weather. But it happens all over the world. This is maybe going to get us into this phase of maybe start building some of these smaller dome stadiums for soccer. But listen, we're going to be aligned with the rest of the world. So instead of – imagine – instead of getting Mueller, Vancouver getting Mueller with 10 games to go, 12 games to go, they get him at the beginning of the year and they have him for a full year. Instead of Sun coming in with 12 games to go, he comes in at the beginning of the year and has a full season with his team. So it's going to align. Are we going to have hiccups? Yeah, 100%. But this is something that needed to be done.
How big of a deal is I mean, because everybody seems to be making a big deal about the cold weather areas that are going to have to deal with this winter portion of the schedule, at least part of the winter portion of the schedule.
Yeah.
What is the difficulty in that? Is it just strictly playing in the cold weather?
Well, listen, it's let's just suppose it's 20 degrees outside. There's a little bit of wind chill. Now you're dropping it down to 15 degrees. You're going to pack up all the kids and you know what I mean?
Right.
So the ground, sometimes it's going to be a little, they're going to have to do more work on the fields to make them softer. So they're not hard at that time of the year. So there comes a lot to it just because of the cold weather. Gotcha. Here in Colorado, the grass goes dormant. Now, how do you keep the grass green from going dormant and those kind of, you know what I mean? So listen, it's nothing that they don't do in Europe. It happens all over Europe that you're playing in the snow, you're playing in that kind of weather. So it's just something that we're going to have to get used to. And like I said, this country has turned into a soccer country. So if you're a fanatic, you'll be out there more than likely with no shirt on, waving your shirt and cheering at 15 degrees.
Listen, we see it all the time in football. I don't see why we can't see it in soccer on the other side. Marcel,
exactly.
We certainly have appreciated you coming on and kind of schooling us on this game as SDFC has made this phenomenal run. I appreciate your time again once again today, and we'll catch up again soon.
Fellas, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Marcelo Balboa, analyst for the MLS Season Pass on Apple Plus. And he's an Aztec for life. We can't forget that. All right, let's.
He's got a very positive disposition to him.
He does. And after traveling all day, I'm surprised he was that positive.
I gave his handler. I gave him an out. I was like, we totally understand if he can't come on the show after being. So what happened was his pilot got sick And so they had to call another pilot to come take the plane.
Been there before. And that's on he's on a charter flight. I've had that happen. Like,
oh yeah,
you reach your hours and you gotta get a new pilot.
That is crazy.
Yeah, it happens. Thank you, Marcelo, for your time. All right, let's get to break. On the other side, we'll have our interview of the week, which happens to be was Ryan Philly with us earlier?
I think we stick with the SDFC talk.
Yeah, it's listen, they're on the cusp of doing something, and I know soccer fans. I know it would happen a long time ago, but they haven't done in major soccer. We haven't had it here in San Diego, so we're going to stick with it. More on that on the other side. Listen up. 5:35 on the clock. Congratulations to today's biggest fan, Michael Schachten. Michael Schachten. C-H-A-A. Let's try it again. S-C-H-A-C-H-T-E-N.
Yes.
I'm going with Schachten.
I think it's Schachten.
Okay. Michael Schachten of San Diego, give us a call within the next 10 minutes, 833-288-0973, and you'll qualify for our grand prize, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game with all of the fan staff later this season. Catered by Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine. Remember to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. All right, Michael Schachten. Your clock is a ticking. I'm having to watch Michigan after they beat on our team.
Yeah. Are you okay?
Not really. We didn't talk about the Sonny Gray trade today at all.
Oh, we did not.
Sonny
You're
Gray,
right.
Pitcher from the Red Sox, from the Cardinals, yep. Goes to the Red Sox for two prospects, two arms for the Cardinals. So some movement there. I think Phil Maton signed a 2-year deal with the Cubs.
That guy's still pitching.
He's got the high spin rate, and it's still working.
All right.
So, you know.
Good for him.
Good for him. Absolutely. That's really it for all of the baseball news.
Is that a needle mover, the Sonny Gray?
I don't know, man. The Red Sox got something cooking over there, it seems like.
They do.
I don't know what it is. They got a bunch of really young, talented players. They got the year from Crochet that, you know, I don't know that everybody was expecting at that rate, but now you had a dude like Sonny Gray, who, by the way, didn't miss one start last season. He made every one of his starts. So the guy who's going to grab the ball every fifth day, that's a valuable piece in a rotation.
Saw that with a guy named Dylan Cease.
Now, on the flip side of that, I don't know if they're signing Alex Bregman. It sounds like this might have been a one-year deal for
Crazy.
And he had a great season for him.
He did, and he signed for a lot of money,
I like Alex Bregman. I think Alex Bregman is top tier. All right. Interview of the day. Ryan Finley joined us to talk a little SDFC. They will be competing in the Western Conference Final against Vancouver. I think the Whitecaps, right?
I
think that's their name. All right. Before we get to that interview, here's some traffic.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All guests on the 97.3 The Fan, join us on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorney, is helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Let's bring on Ryan Finley, joining us here from the San Diego Union-Tribune. Ryan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for giving us some of your time today. I mean, SDFC did not disappoint. There's a nervous energy, as you probably know, here in San Diego about, you know, our teams getting to the postseason and not quite living up to the expectation. SDFC has done that and some terrific win yesterday. Just looked like that place was electric once again.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, it's funny. Soccer's so stressful, right? And especially when it's a scoreless game for, you know, almost three quarters of the game. You know, I think your mind starts to wander to like, oh, geez, you know, are they going to blow this? Is something bad going to happen? And then San Diego FC, like it has throughout this playoff series, you know, scores at the opportune time. Their defense was solid. Anders Dreyer is just developing into a star before our eyes here. Just a huge goal. He seems to show up in all of the big moments for them. Just a great performance by him. A great performance by SDFC last night on, I think, a really sandy field, a not great conditions, and a really stressful situation playing a tricky Minnesota United team. So, yeah, huge game for them, huge win.
Talking to Ryan Finley here of the San Diego Union Tribune, and we were just talking about Mike Veras and how well he's done this year and how perfect he is for the city of San Diego. And he's dealt with a lot of stuff this year. He dealt with the chance earlier in the year. He had this Chucky Lozano situation recently. Mm-hmm. How does this come from the top down, or is this a Mikey Veras thing and it's just infectious?
I think it does come from the top down. That said, I think Mikey Veras is kind of the perfect spokesman for what they're trying to do. I'm out there at practices all the time talking to him. He's just such a different guy.
Yeah.
And I mean that as a total compliment. You know, in a place like San Diego, he's a great fit here. You know, a very eloquent, a great communicator, can talk about very esoteric things and then very specific things. And you totally understand what he's talking about. And he does it in two languages, guys.
Yeah.
I can barely speak one. He speaks two. And, you know, what he is able to convey, and I know the word culture gets beaten to death when we talk about sports, but the culture that he's been able to build there of, I think, of openness, of acceptance, of accountability, right? I mean, this Chucky Lozano thing, that was really tough.
Yeah.
I mean, to square off essentially against your highest paid player over a tantrum he reportedly threw at halftime. You know, that's not necessarily an easy task to take on if you're a head coach, and yet he's done it. He's great. He should be Major League Soccer's Coach of the Year. He's been fantastic. And if they can win two more matches, guys, he would go down in San Diego sports history as the coach of the first team to win a major sports championship in San Diego.
You're starting to be able to kind of to feel that. Like, I think we brought it. I think I actually had this conversation with Joe Musgrove at the first game of the playoffs, and it was like, man, they could actually be the first ones to actually pull this off. And here we are, two wins away, as you said, Ryan. Let me ask you about the performance of the team. And I was just talking about Manu Dua. He played a terrific game, really covering both sides of the field. He seemed to be one of the last two defenders every single time Minnesota had an opportunity. I mean, this is a young player that it looks like they're going to be able to build around along with a few of the other young players they have.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy who a year ago was playing at UC Santa Barbara, right? Mm. They made him the number one pick in the MLS Super Draft, which means almost nothing, right? The number one pick in the Super Draft don't exactly jump right into the starting lineup. They bring him here. They change his position, guys. And it took, what, a month, 6 weeks or so before they got super comfortable putting him out there. And he's just been fantastic. And Tony, you know this, especially on a championship team, you need guys to have career years.
Yeah.
You need guys to overplay their salaries, right? You need great value from some of your players. And if you look at, you know, San Diego FC, maybe it's not surprising that Anders Dreyer and Chucky Lozano are kind of their two, you know, big scorers. You know, they're the guys who make all the money on the team, right? But then you look at Amal Pellegrino, who was acquired at their trade deadline and has been just amazing in sort of starting in Chucky Lozano's old position. He's been great. You know, you look at the goalkeepers, you know, not enough's been said about Pablo Cisniega, a guy who sat for most of this season and then had to enter in the middle of game two of their first round when CJ Dos Santos got hurt, and he's been really good. You know, there are all these guys, Ian Pilcher, last night, a player, you know, maybe not your average San Diegan can name. Ian Pilcher has a sliding stop of a sure goal to keep, you know, San Diego in the game. And, you know, San Diego's down 1-0. You know, you guys watch enough soccer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're down 1-0, that's when you start to think about all the great San Diego sports teams that couldn't pull it off, right? Keeping that score tied 0-0 and keeping San Diego in it and the momentum and the crowd on their side, just you can't say enough about how well those guys have played.
Talking to Ryan Finley of the San Diego Union Tribune about SDFC, and I want to talk about the San Diego sports curse, because going to the championship game in their first year and winning seemed like it wasn't ever going to happen when before the season started. Now that we're here, it could happen. I don't want people to get mad at this team if they get to the championship and they lose that game. Like, where are we at with that sort of San Diego sports curse? Because I think it's pretty incredible that the team is in the championship game, you know, in this hypothetical version of mine.
Yes, in a way, the game is over and they've already won, right? By being the first expansion team in MLS history to do so many of the things that they've done, the most wins, the most points, to be the number one seed in the Western Conference Final, in the Western Conference, and now headed to the Western Conference Final, this season is an unqualified success for these guys. And they are the story of the year in San Diego sports. Full stop.
Yeah.
Right now, in 2025. If they don't win another game, they are the story of the year in San Diego sports.
That said,
until somebody wins that championship, you know, I think San Diego's going to look at talented teams like this and go, okay, but can you win the big one?
Right.
And it's unfair to them. I get it. But it's an opportunity for them, too. I mean, for this club, you know, they are two wins away from doing something that 60 years of San Diego professional sports teams have been unable to do. You know, what a way to write their name in sort of San Diego's record books than by pulling that off.
Yeah, so as you said, two wins away. I want to talk a little bit about that matchup yesterday, because you brought up a great point. If that goal is not, you know, that ball is not stopped from going in the goal there, they're down 1-0, and you could sense, at least it seemed like at one point, the frustration, because all Minnesota was doing was just packing it in. They had everybody back there, and you could see if that goal gets in, how that becomes much harder. But what a great assist from Baird to kind of keep that ball in play, sets up Dreyer for a perfect shot. I mean, that's the one opening that they really had all game. Other than that, they didn't have a ton of opportunity.
I know. It's so funny. I was trying to talk to somebody about this yesterday. You know, is it like playing kind of the old Syracuse matchup zone defense, right? Where the other guy just packs it in, and it's just so frustrating, right? Because you can't really shoot over it, and you don't really want to drive into it. I could see the frustration building there, too. And then you look at that pass by Baird, and Baird is another one of those guys, right? You know, it's been – Anders Dreyer's the hero every night, but there's almost always somebody else there, too. And, you know, he's a San Diego native, Baird. He was acquired midseason. This was not a guy who was in their long-term plans at the start of the season. You know, not a guy whose jersey you see out in the community necessarily. He has this great pass to set up this just season-defining goal by Anders Dreyer. You know, this is what championship teams do. You know, they find a way. And I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but they've shown enough, I think, in their last two matches, right? The two knockout game or I'm sorry, the Portland match, game three, and then in this knockout game, I think they've shown enough here, to, you know, to show me they can play with anybody in this league. Yeah. And now, you know, they just need two more wins.
Talking to Ryan Finley here of the San Diego Union Tribune, easy for me to say. And I we talked a little bit about it earlier. I know there's not much that can be done about the field and how it looked last mm-hmm. night and everything mm-hmm. like that. But I'm seeing people like saying that they need to move out of Snapdragon already. Do you think Snapdragon is the right place for them?
Yes. Yes, I think it is. I think that it's – look, they will figure this out. Snapdragon had field issues long before San Diego SC showed up. This is something that can be fixed. You know, obviously I'm looking ahead to what could be, what, two weekends from now, where the Aztecs could be hosting a Mountain West title game and SDSC could be hosting an MLS Cup game.
Yes.
And so what's going to happen there? You know, we're working on something today that'll be in tomorrow's paper, laying out a couple of their different options there. But, you know, this is... Yeah, I mean, Snapdragon is, I think, a perfect place for them.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic soccer facility. You know, I know it was built for football, but certainly they built it with an MLS team in mind. The sight lines are amazing. The atmosphere is great. People have proven from throughout San Diego that they're willing to drive to Mission Valley just like they used to for the Padres and Chargers. You know, you can't beat the location. It's central. It's great. They just need to be able to grow grass. And at some point, somebody smarter than me is going to explain to me why we can't grow grass in San Diego.
You know,
I don't understand that.
Levi Stadium, when they built it where the 49ers played, they had a really hard time with the grass because it wouldn't attach to the ground.
I was going to say, a lot of times when, you know, a new stadium comes up, it does take some time. I mean, even in a place like San Diego, to get the right mix so that it can deal with the type of traffic that it has on it every year. I think that's the other thing that's unique about the state. They got a lot of stuff going on that field throughout the course.
No,
of the
they
year.
Do. They do. You're right. You talk about the wave, and then you talk about, I mean, there's concerts. There's,
yeah.
You know, until just last season, there was rugby. You know, there's all sorts of stuff going on over there. Is it a great fit for them? I think that it's one of the best two or three facilities in Major League Soccer, assuming the field holds up.
Right.
And so I think that the big challenge for San Diego State, who again sort of owns and operates this thing with a management company, I think that the big challenge here is going to be to find a mix that works well for football and football,
yeah,
you know, and
sure.
I'm sure it exists. It's just not in there now.
Right. Last one for me, Ryan, and this is more of an educational question for me. I'm trying to understand Western Conference here, Eastern Conference. If SDFC wins and Miami mm-hmm. wins, because I think that's the matchup everybody has kind of got their eyeballs on, at least here
right.
in San Diego.
Right.
SDFC would then go to Miami for that final. How does the shield thing work?
The supporter shield?
Yes.
That goes to the team with the best regular season record. So that's over. Philadelphia Union won that. And so
is that, that's most points,
that.
Right?
Yeah, that's most points, regular season, most points.
Okay.
So that's already been awarded to the Philadelphia Union, who were upset in the playoffs just this last weekend. And so, yeah, the scenarios here are if Miami wins and San Diego wins, San Diego goes to Miami.
Because right? they had the better more points.
Right, more points.
Okay.
Exactly, more points during the regular season. We can talk later about Miami being the site of the Chargers Super Bowl and how sort of fitting it would be, right?
Yeah.
If San Diego won a championship back in Miami, I think that'd be kind of cool. But if, you know, Miami were to lose and San Diego were to win, all of a sudden you've got an MLS Cup match at Snapdragon Stadium.
Wow.
And what a moment that would be. What an unexpected big game for San Diego that would be. So,
and did
you know,
you
I'm
say
sure
that
people
they...
will be scoreboard watching.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Did you say that they might run into an Aztec football game or...
Well, like they could, right? I mean, looking at the schedule, if the Aztecs were to host the Mountain West Championship game.
It's very possible.
Which, very possible, right? It starts by winning on Friday, if you're San Diego State. If they were to host that, and then there's the MLS Cup match, you know, then you start looking. And again, they will have some options. There will be some different scenarios laid out there. You know, nobody's going to move to Carson for a week or anything like that.
Right.
Like, I think there's a way to make all this happen. But there's going to be some scenarios. Now, again, what are the odds of, I mean, to me, the least likely scenario that we just laid out is Miami losing at home.
Yeah.
Right. You know, if all the favorites just win out this weekend, and then San Diego goes to Miami and the Aztecs play the Mountain West Championship game at Snapdragon. But, you know, there are some contingencies in there if there are a couple of upsets that could, you know, force San Diego State to make a really interesting call with, you know, when does soccer play, when does football play, and where.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Wow. That would be interesting. Listen, I'm here for it all.
Yeah,
as long
too.
As you get an SDFC San Diego State final game, I think everybody will be happy no matter where it is. Ryan, we certainly appreciate your time, man. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thank you.
Ryan Finley, San Diego Union Tribune.
Thank you to Ryan Finley for joining us. And right now, it's your chance to win a pair of tickets to Guns N' Roses at Snapdragon Stadium on September 2nd. See Ticketmaster.com for tickets. Just be the sixth caller to 833-288-0973 and you will win those tickets.
Bada
well, Tony,
bada boom.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
You do the same. You got some Scrappy Chronicles coming up for the people, huh?
Yeah, I do.
You didn't calculate that one.
You know,
one,
I just Googled the most popular side dishes in America, so that might be where we're going.
Hey, you got something to talk about at least. All right, as we said, this is the last show before we head out to Thanksgiving. Thank you guys for listening. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you guys Monday. Scrappy Chronicles coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.